Blog Talk Radio.
This is the kid. Calls me 59 days in a row, wants to be a player. Ought to be a picture of you in the dictionary on our persistence, kid. Yeah. Now listen, Jerry, I'm looking for negative control, okay?
Something different. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another podcast on Blog Talk Radio.com. This is Power Hour. Listening to the man himself, the one and only Michael Hall, a.k.a. Mr. Wall Street, a.k.a. Mr. Steal Your Girl, a.k.a. the fucking wolf. All right, let's get into it. It's been a wild, crazy day, and I missed everything because I'm a busy motherfucker. I have nothing else to do. Some of our plays that have been watched are going bananas right now. I mean bananas. I mean up huge. AMD up 7%. 7%, guys. This went from 773, y'all. Now it's at 290. So 273 to 290. Tell me you can't make money with that. Next week is a new week for me. I'm going to have maybe 2 days, maybe 2 to 3 days where I can do nothing but trade. And I'm going to make so much freaking money, guys. Last time I done this, I made like 15 grand in 3 days. I'm going to go on another hot streak. AMD is a must have on watch. My plays just don't stop for one day like some other people who call stocks. I'm not going to mention any names. You already know who I'm talking about. Can't stand the guy anyway. Anyway. So it's at 290. A 29 bid. There's around roughly around 250,000 shares at 289, and about 250,000 shares at 290. It just ain't showing, but it's there. If you learn how to read the tape, you would know about the tape. Stuff charts ain't gonna help you with. Just saying. So today, we're talking about big, massive gainers, and let's go over. Let's just do a little rundown for the plays we haven't watched today, so you can see for yourself how much money you could be making over here with hedge trading. All right, of course, AMD, the one we're talking about right now, 272 to 288 is a high, right? Boom, forget about it. It's already past that. It's 290. 290 is a high now. Previous close is 270, right? Go down here. Here we go. Boom. I'm an energy stocks, right? Yeah. XXI. It is now at 460. The high is 468. Previous close is 431. With below average volume, but it's trending higher. This chart is freaking nuts, out of control, guys. So that's a winner right there. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Alright. CLSN. Oh, yesterday, I expected a drop and pop scenario today. We got the drop today. It's $3. I'll look to get this around 290 or even lower than 290, actually. I think we can get this probably around maybe 289 to 287, maybe 285, maybe 270 actually, around that range. I'll look to load up there for the next run, which is going to happen pretty soon, judging by the chart. And what do you have going on? Right? And, of course, the stock I lost on, which I thought was just going to run because it was off from the highs. I was expecting an upswing to happen. I get into a stock that was with upswing. It went up to 223. Previous close to 19, so it was above that. It ran to 235. Then it came all the way down to around 207. Then it popped back up around like 213. 214 range. I got in at 212, 5,000 shares. Had a stop loss over there at 206 because the low was 207, so I was below the low. Because just in case I figure I'll bounce off the low anyway, so I'll still be protected just in case I'll get out if a big collapse happens. Because you always gotta protect your cash flow, guys. Like one of my buddies just said, stop washing like condoms to protect you, which is so freaking true, guys. You don't use a stop wash, you're opening up yourself to a humongous, big-time loss. Your capital is everything when you're a trader. And some traders be like, well, the market makers can see the stop losses and stuff. Listen, guys, unless you're following these other people who think the market makers are against you, I'm not going to say any names, but the market makers are there to actually give us a market to trade. Without the market maker, there would be no market to trade. We'll be trading on the gray sheets, like all the other bankrupt companies who trade on the gray sheets, where there's no market maker whatsoever. And it's just people like us giving bids and asks. And would you really want that? I want a market maker because they actually buy stuff themselves because it's their job. So, just because you want 290 is at 285, and you can't get to 290 because there's no buying at the 290. It's not because a market maker wants to keep the stock down. I'm sure if you're on big time stock social media, I'm sure you're seeing all the time, all the market makers are killing us, the market makers, the MMs. You hear it all the time. You know, like iHub, all the market makers are ghosting. They're ghosting fake orders and stuff like that. Well, furthermore, they're not ghosting shit. All right, guys, it's illegal to do any of that stuff. You can't place fake orders. If the Fed found out you're placing fake orders at SEC or even FINRA, come on, they'll lock you down in a second. You cannot place fake orders. You can't. I'm sorry, guys. So the market maker is not against you. You know who's against you? Look to the left of you. Look to the right of you. Everyday people like us. We're against each other. Even if we're part of the same community and the same service, technically we're against each other. Yes, we all want to profit together. We want to make money together. That's the job I have for you guys, to get you profitable. But in the end of the day, we're buying the same stock. We're against each other. Some services all promote one stock, and you all want all their students to buy that stock. Now,
sure, I'm looking for negative.
Okay, so how at the end of the day, how is that going to work out for, like, say, student S and student B and student C, or even student G, if you will? Same works really well for the first four guys, and plus the main guy himself. How is that going to work for the next 10 students? How is that going to work for them? Are they going to be the guppies who pretty much buy all the stuff we're selling at, or what? It doesn't work like this. Somebody has to lose. Somebody has to win. So why all buy the same stock? Why doesn't it give the reason I buy? Well, me, of course, you know, I'm the man of the hour, if you will. I give a whole platform of stocks that I love to trade, and I give a whole bunch of them. Stocks I think they're going to move. Because I don't want you to limit your options. No, I'm not saying we got to diversify, because I think that's a crack of shit. What I'm saying is, we got to... Why limit ourselves to one stock when we could trade, like, this stock's moving and that stock's moving? Let's just pick the best one we feel best with and go with that. And there's still been plenty more runners because every stock runs, right? So why should I just say, okay, guys, we're all going to buy VGGL today. Good luck, guys. Let's do it. And I post a garbage freaking email alert with, like, all the examples why you should be buying this. Then let's just all buy in. And say if we're the only people buying it. If we're the only ones out there pretty much buying the majority of it that day. And there's nobody else buying it besides really us. And enough liquidity reasons. What's going to happen to us? I'll tell you what's going to happen. A couple of us are going to profit. The rest are going to freaking lose. You know what's going to happen to me? My business is going to freaking fail. Not because the stock was shit. The stock might have looked great for that couple minutes, 25 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. It looked freaking marvelous. And I can go out and say, well, I guess you're just a trader, right? You know what I got to do? I got to teach you better to be a better trader. I'm not going to go that whole route, not saying you're putting enough effort into it. No, it's going to affect my overall business. And it's going to affect my bottom line and my semantics, right? Because I want everybody to profit. So I give a whole bunch of stocks that are going to run, which I know they're going to run. It's because I've been doing this for so long. I understand how the system works. I understand how the stocks work. So back to the main focus of hand. If stop losses are going to kill you, no, they're going to save you. They're going to save you from getting AIDS. If you want to use it in the whole condom scenario. Stop losses are safe heaven. Instead of having, like, say to me, say if I didn't have a stop loss, and say if I had to run into Burger King real quick to buy to get some lunch, then I checked out my phone real quick to see what it was doing. Instead of being stopped out at 206, I could be still holding this damn bitch at freaking, like, we're all the way down to 193. So instead of a $300 loss, I could have had like a $1,000 loss. So that would have made me really pissed off. So this is what I want to do. I want to make 600 or more. All I want to do is just lose 300. So next time I make money, I pretty much make back what I lost, and I make more. So I'm always doubling my money. It's all about risk management, which I teach. That's why I usually buy the same amount of shares every time. I usually buy 5,000 shares at a time. And sometimes I go huge, where I think if the volume is there, I'm going huge. I'm buying like 30, 40, 50,000 shares. I got the liquidity for it. Where I'm going to make like, and I'm not looking for massive runs either. I'm only looking for 10, 15 cent runs. I'm going to make a few grand really quick, like real quick, right? So it's all about how much I want to lose. How much I mean, so my downside risk, you're like $300. I'm a bad guy. Sorry about that. I lost signal again. Freaking Frontier. I can't wait till my Comcast is all set up where we're not going to have any freaking stops anymore. It's going to be beautiful. That's my 250 MPU. Oh, I can't wait. Anyway, like I'm saying. Alright, I'm back again. That was like quick. I lost it real quick on that. I can't wait for Comcast. I really can't. It's like Frontier, you freaking suck. Anyway. Stocks are good to buy, but their service itself just sucks. Anyway. So stop losses save you from massive losses. Massive. I'd rather have a $300 loss than a $1,000 loss. So market makers are not there to hurt you, they're there to help you. And another thing, let's talk about the day trading rule. There's a lot of students I have are pissed off about the day trading rule. At one time, I was pissed off too. There's nothing you can do about it unless you want to trade offshore, which a lot of us do. So, what can I do about it? Can I bitch and moan and complain? Try to get them to change it? No, it's there for a reason. The reason why it's there, 90% of traders blow their accounts up. Now, do you realize but it takes 2 to 3 days for their cash to clear after you sell a stock. It takes 2 to 3 days to clear in your account. Some brokers take two. Some brokers take one. It depends. Now, say if it didn't clear and there was no, say there was no rule. and you made profit on the stock, right? And of course, it shows you in your account, but it takes a couple days to clear, so you actually could touch that cash. But say there was no day trading rule, and you're allowed to sell this trade that capital before the demeanor. So typically, that'd be like buying on margin, if you will. And say you lost all that money you made on a trade, right? So you lost all those gains you won in that trade, you just lost in the next. And technically, there's no money really in the account because it hasn't cleared. And then Mr. Ameritrade, Mr. E-Trade is going to be calling you. Be like, yo, bro, you lost $3,000, but technically you don't got $3,000 in your account. Because it hasn't cleared yet, but you're negative $3,000. You're gonna have to pay a penalty on this. You're gonna have to cover this loss. Then that's when the whole scenario goes where, like, holy fuck, I just fucked myself. So if you have a small account and you're using your whole entire account in each trade, pretty much just to make make a profit, and you made profit, you go to the next one, you lose, and there's no money there to cover it, guys. You have to cover that yourself. So now you actually got to take more. You don't even really have, really, just to cover it. You know, got them knocking down your freaking door. You understand, guys? The rule's there for a reason. Then you could be like this. Oh, the freaking rule's killing me, bro. I'm going to be making so many gains this week. Every stock I picked this week is going through the roof. Well, okay. Then you could be like this. So, how come you didn't get any stocks then? Well, I got into it, but I sold too early. And then the next one ran really hard, and I couldn't get into it because I had to wait. I was so many trades a week. Well, okay. Then that's not the rule's fault. That's your fault. You sold too early. Did the rule make you sell too early? No. You sold too early. So if you just let the stock play out. So we don't know if it's going to go higher or it's going to go lower. But we always know the stock's going to go lower. When the stock reaches a pivotal point of a day high, it's just going to decline. Or if there's bigger orders coming in, like big blocks, like 25, 55, 35,000 shares are coming in, we know the stock's going to pull back. Because the market makers have to do what, guys? You have to fill the orders, right? It's called supply and demand. So maybe, just maybe, a couple stop orders, a couple cents down, you took it out. It's not the market maker's fault. That is the guys buying 50,000 shares of a stock. That's their fault. That's not the market maker's fault. The market maker has to fill it. In order to fill it, stock has to come down. Then the stock goes right back up. So that's the scenario you get. Like, oh man, every time the stock hits my stop loss, it goes right back up. Because it's what I call the flush. You get flushed out. But it pops right back up. It's the drop and pop scenario. When big liquidity comes in, the stock has to decline. It has to. Because it has to fill itself up. And then it pops right back up. It resets. That's where I look to try to get in and get that 10 to 15 cent run. Right? So you gotta set your stop losses accordingly. Now, did the rule make you sell the stock too early? No, you just mistraded it. If you waited maybe 10, 15 more minutes, you would have got a bigger price, you would have made more money. Then you could have waited a couple days and got into another stock. You did the same thing over. But don't rush your trades. Right? You wanna love what you do, right? But you don't have to rush it. You don't have to be like, I need to make $1 million this week. I need to make $1,000 this week. Don't think about the money. Forget about the money. You want winning trades. Like, I want 5 winning trades this week. I want to win 3 times this week. You know what? I only have time to make 1 trade this week. It better be a winner. Because so you want to win in trades. You want to build a catalog of winning trades. That's what you want to do. If you make money on it, that's great. If you make maybe like $25, $35, $55 in gains, that's nothing to be ashamed about. That's just where you are in life right now. What you want to do is you want to take that experience, then start to risk more. Once you feel comfortable in what you're doing, you got the thing of things, then you can risk a little more. Instead of making $35, $50, maybe even $60, now you're making $100 per game, like per trade. Then you gradually go up to $200 like per trade. And then you get into the whole thing where you're making $600, maybe like $500, $600 to $1,000 per game. Then the sky is the limit. But you gotta be able to walk and get yourself there. How you get yourself there is just building a catalog of winning trades. I can show you book after book, webinar after webinar, and what I've done and what I love to do. I can get you there. But in order to you to be able to do it, you have to physically just do it. Now, do I recommend you opening up an account with like $5,000 and go away from bat? No, I recommend $500, $600, maybe $1,000. Just get used to trading. Is it the end of your life if you lose $500? No. Is it the end of your life if you lose $1,000? No, it's nothing. But it's going to get you the experience you need. Learn how to trade by trading real money instead of paper money. Because paper money has something in it that's called no risk. Because it's different emotions. Because when people trade, they get very emotional. If the stock goes higher, they get so giddy. Like, oh my God, I'm going to make so much money. Because they're thinking about the money instead of the trade. You want to detach yourself from the money aspect of the trade and just trade the trade. All you're trading is the trade. That's it. It's the 5-cent move, the 10-cent move, and the 15-cent move. That's all you're looking to trade. You're not looking to trade where I'm gonna make $10, $15. Forget about the money. The money's gonna come if you win the trades. The money will come. You just gotta focus yourself on actually making the trades, building that catalog of winning trades, win after win. Because you know what's gonna happen. You're gonna get confident. Once you get confidence, you get a better understanding, you're going to go so far in this business. I got Facebook messages now. What's going on? That is a really good question, Kevin. It's a little off track right now, but what's that plus? Because I actually don't do percentages. I actually do a price where I'm not going to go like 6 cents down. Maybe it depends. Either I'm going 10 cents. Or I'm going 6 cents. Say today, and the stock that I lost on today, that the liquidity wasn't really there. So I pretty much would go with a 6 cent loss ratio. So if I'm getting in at 612, I'm willing to lose 6 cents, so that would be what? I mean, 212, I'm willing to lose 6 cents, so that'd be 206. So, but if it's a high validity stock like a GBSN, or a VLTC, where at the time we were trading like 30,000, 50,000, I mean million shares, then I'm willing that I'll have to physically do a bigger loss ratio because bigger blocks are coming in, so it's going to pull back a little more. So then I'll go with maybe a 10 cent loss, where say if I get in at, say like, for example, 525, 10 cents down from that, that's where my stop would be at. It will be all my shares. All of them. Because I hate when orders split up and then you get killed at fees and everything. All my sales are always all or nothing because I hate when you have a sell come in, it only takes half of your shares, then it takes a quarter of your share, then it takes the rest of it. Now you have three tickets, and that's how much ever your broker charges you for each trade. That can kill your bottom line, your bottom profit. Right? So, I hope that answers your question. Percentage, I'm really about just the price itself. I do all my shares, and it's usually 6 or 10 cents below everywhere I get in. Because as soon as I buy a trade, as soon as I get into a stock, I already know where my stop loss is going to be at. So, it's either 6 cents or 10 cents below for what I got in it. And I already placed myself at 30 cents above the ask. And now the rest of it, now I just have to manage it. So how do I manage it? I already know how much I'm going to lose. I already know how much I'm going to lose if I lose. So I don't want to worry about that part anymore. So now what you're doing now is you're detaching yourself away from the money. Now you have to worry about the money. Now if the stock runs, you already know how much you're going to make. Now, you think it's going to go higher? Okay, perfect. You put your sell price a lot higher. Then you put a trailing stop in, where now you're locking in profits. Now if it actually goes lower, you already got what you wanted to begin with. There's just every broker knows you has trailing stops, stop losses. It's just stuff that really help manage your trades a lot better. Again, market makers are not there to hurt you. Brokers are not there to just take your fee. They're there to help you. And I bet you right now, if you any broker you guys had, you call them up and listen, I need a better deal. I bet they're willing to work with you. Because they don't want you to leave because they love your deposits. Because your deposits are swaps. They're taking that and like leveraging it off of something else. You just don't know about it. Because everything is secured by the FDIC. So they love your deposits. Your money's off to some other jungle fund somewhere digging for gold. You just don't know about it. You get any percentage off of that? Nope. But the bank, every bank is attached to some brokerage account somewhere. It's all in the line of stuff you just don't know about. But back to what I was saying before, guys. Detach yourself from the money. Don't go into a stock and be like, I gotta make this amount of money. I have to pay this bill. I have to pay that bill. See, right from the start, you're going to limit yourself. Limit yourself by, if you can't afford just normal living expenses, you shouldn't be trading to begin with. It's just, your mind's not going to be set right. Hey, let's use an analogy. Let's say, going off the war. You're already in war. See, you're a freaking Navy SEAL. And you gotta go over to Baghdad or Iraq to do a mission. You're going on an op. And say you got some bill troubles at home. And say you're like 9-15 months behind in your mortgage. If you can't make enough capital, which they don't get paid that much to begin with. So you're just behind. And the bank's not really calling just because the bank probably doesn't even care. Most banks don't. Most banks sell your stuff off to some other bank, and you'll get a bill like 2 years later. Oh, by the way, you owe this much, and gotta pay it now. But anyways, the banking world is fucked up. So, can you do? Say you have all these bill problems. You got your wife's always sick. There's like so much crap going on. You're going on an op. Is your like mind mentally prepared to go on this op? No, because you're thinking about all the crap back home. Now think as a trader. Think of yourself as a warrior, like a ninja. Your mind has to be totally blank and zen-like, where all you're just focused on is just trading, where you're able to take the trades and take yourself to the next level. By worrying about having to pay your cell phone bill, or I need to make $140 this trade, all this stuff, you're not going to be able to actually learn correctly. You're not going to be able to achieve your goals because all you're going to be worried about is money. When you worry about money, you worry about losing money. And a stock market is not the place to be if you're worried about losing money because you're going to lose. We all lose. I lost today. Do I seem worried about it? No. I'm fine. It's $300. Whatever. That's a stripper right there. You know, come on. It's just, yeah. I'm fine now, but years ago, I mean, like a long time ago, I'd be freaking petrified right now. I'm like, holy shit. But now it's like, whatevs. I'm okay. I'm good. Fine. Right? You just gotta get used to doing that stuff, right? It's just, how do I take myself from my job C, get myself a job freaking G? Because I want to be a G at this, right? Well, furthermore, you gotta have a plan. Your plan is, to conquer the market. Well, how do I conquer the market? You have to have set goals. Your goals are this. Build a strong watch list every single day with the rules that you live by. Stocks that fit your parameters, like $2 stocks to $6. Small accounts can afford shares from below to really cheap. Let's say a dollar. I love $2 stocks, so they move like crazy. Say a dollar. So you can see a dollar all the way to six. So one to six. You can afford those price ranges for small accounts. Medium-sized accounts, one to eight. Large size, you can afford 10 and above. But I love $2 up to eight. That's my range right there. But usually I trade stocks between $2 and $3, maybe $4. Usually the max lately has just been like that $2 to $5 area. Because that's where the stocks that we want to trade. Okay, now, does the media frown about them? Yes. Do they think we're gamblers? Yes. Are we? No. We're actually really trading on sure things. Sure things that we know the stocks are going to go higher. We just don't know when. That's the thing. So that's where our art comes into form, right? Because we're artists, really. We're painting a portrait in a way that we think where the stock's going to go. We just don't know what's going to go there yet. We go on sure things. We go on our gut, really. We go on certain things that we learn how the stock markets work. Where I learn when big ask orders come in, I know the stock's going to come down in price. I learned that over the years. See, before, I thought that was a good thing. Oh my God, somebody just bought 50,000 shares. So I'll go rush in and buy any ask. And this is like, probably like 7 years ago. So I'll rush in, go buy any ask. I'll buy huge too, thinking the stock's going to run. Well, somebody's buying 50,000 shares. Something's going to happen. Then what happened? The stock declined like 7 cents. And then I'm like, oh my God, it's time to get out. And I'll sell. Hold on 1 second, guys. I am back, guys. Yes, I was saying before. We have to trade stocks in the gutter. That's where the market, that's where we make our niche. That's where we make our money. The media frowns upon it. Other people are frowning about it. But it's not a bad thing. Even some of your friends may be like, oh, you trade penny stocks. Well, they think we're gambling. We're not gambling. We're betting on sure things. So like I was saying before. Like, say, like, somebody bought, like, 50,000 shares of a stock. I'm like, oh, my God, on the ask. I mean, oh, the stock's about to take off. He knows something. I'm not going to rush in buy on the ask. I'll buy big two. And the stock just drops 7-6 cents. I'm like, oh, is this the time to get out now? I would sell. Then, like, 2 minutes later, the stock will jump 15 cents. And I'm like, oh, shit, how the hell that happened? Then I realized, over time, like, okay, when big orders come in, they have to fill, so they prices have to lower. Then you get in. And then the stock runs. That's what I learned. Where I really made it into my strategy. I made it into the pop and drop strategy. And it works. I trade the same pattern over and over again. Well, I try to. Every stock usually has the same pattern. Every stock that runs usually has the same pattern. And that's what you just go with. I'm looking at AMD right now. Let's try to guess where the stock's going to go. So I'm just looking at the times of sales right now. 8,000 shares just came in at $287.99. Now the price has to lower now. Here comes $287.75. Now these are fractions now. If you deal with a direct access broker, you can trade fractions. You can trade big. Say like 220, 22, and so on. Like 223, 25. You can just fuck with it a little. There comes a drop now. 287s are dropping now. $287.5, $287.99, $287.5, $287, $287. Yep. That's lower now. Now, here comes the uptick now. Here's 288. Let me find another stock that has, it's trading bigger right now. There you go. MNOV. Which will be on tomorrow's watch list. For you guys who train on Friday, I need to take Fridays off. It's been a hectic week. I've been sick most of the week and I've been busy too. Alright. MNOV, which is up 38%. 7 million plus shares traded. Trades around 487 to 490. That's a really wide ass. That's ugly as fuck. Never mind. We're keeping here just for the look for educational sake, but I wouldn't be trading this right now. That's a big ask right there. That's a big spread. It's not tight. 286 bid and the ask is 490. That means there's literally no action whatsoever. So if you're in this right now, you're pretty much forced to hold. Can't sell it. Hope you guys are enjoying this podcast. I'm looking for the more educational feel to it today. Very professional. Hope you guys are enjoying it. If you guys have Twitter, it'd be great if you guys could tweet it out and give it a bunch of likes and whatnot. That's View 42, and we're looking for some stocks that are running until tomorrow. Don't really see anything, really. There we go. This is what I want to look at. This is perfect. Welcome back, guys. Welcome back to BlogTalkRadio.com, Traders Network Live, Power Hour Podcast, coming at you. It's the last hour of trading. Right now, we're looking at ENZN, up 17%, 9 million plus shares traded, and we're just looking at this to see if it's going to drop and pop. Right now, we're looking for big blocks of shares that come in. Great Twitter handle to follow for block trading actually is. Let's find it. There we go. Which is Block Trade Alert. At Block Trade Alert, which is technically equityfeed.com. I am back again. Aw, this connection's terrible. Like, Frontier sucks balls. I'm going to put it out there. Like I was saying, you want to find stocks that have big block shares. I mean, like, 530,000 shares, 50,000 shares, 40,000 shares, 21,000 share orders. Follow. If you have Twitter, please follow Block Trade Alert. It's pretty much Equity Feed, which is the software that I use. You can get a 14-day free trial, no credit card required, over at equityfeed.com. It has the best data, the best charting of every single market, the pink sheets, OTCQB, NASDAQ, New York Crossing, AMEX, and more. If you're willing to take your trading to the next level and you're looking for good data, I highly recommend equityfeed.com. 14-day free trial, no credit card required. download and you're good to go.
Yeah. All right.
I'm tired of these people posting on Facebook. I know you're somebody else. Why are you using a different account? It makes no sense. Let me tell you, it pisses me off to no end. Something drives me insane. Alright. On a serious note, let's talk about Danny, if you're listening, Danny Chen, the Chinese wonder. Maybe you're Japanese. Maybe you're Korean. Maybe you're Filipino. I don't know. I know you're of Asian descent. Contact me, buddy. PM me. Let's talk. You need history training in your life. I will make you freeze up, bro. Post a message on your status. Time you start turning like a man. All right. Ooh. Oh man, I'm gonna wish a happy birthday real quick. Might have something planned with this guy I'm writing happy birthday to real quick for Hedgehog Trading that can help some traders out. When more comes into the mix, I'll make it public. Alright. Well, let's get down to it. Alright, I want to talk about this company real quick. I mentioned them before. Their CEO is going to be coming on the podcast to do a live interview in a couple of weeks, maybe. Or a month or so. Let me just, where is he? Where he at? Where he at? No. There we go. It's Illegal Restaurants Group, Inc., which is Legal Burger. It's in the name of the restaurant. It's in Colorado. It's NESI. The ticker symbol is going to be changing soon. That's what it is right now. This stock is going to be at $4 before you know it. This is going to be trading over $1 within the minutes. Probably within, like, literally within, like, 10 minutes, it should be over $1 soon. It might even close at $1. Maybe even tomorrow. This is going to become very... It's going to hit the market hard. What do you have planned? Once the marketing starts and the stock actually finds people, the people actually find it to trade it, the liquidity in this is going to come into it. It's going to run. And this is going to be $4 easy. News coming out soon for the second restaurant. I'm hoping it's in Florida. I'm not going to make any promises, though. I don't know. But I think so. I think it's going to be in Florida. If you don't know what Illegal Burger is, I strongly suggest you go to illegalburger.com. They're kind of like a Hooters without the girls. But they have adult moonshine beverages. Your typical, they're like good food. Fresh. Organic. I should say orgasmic. Just check out the stuff. Illegalburger.com. The ticker symbol right now is NESI. This could be at $4 within a couple months. I'm liking it. And I hope to be a part of it. And the other stock that I recommend, which is AXXE, trades around 9 cents. This stock is going to be 60 cents plus when the uplist. Then, when they actually start working with the WWE, when their deal kicks in, next, when the start of 2016, they're going to go through the moon, guys. They're going to go on a huge run. They're FDA approved. We're talking about AXXE, Access Pharma. Their CEO came on to our podcast, Dr. Daniel Baggy, a couple weeks ago for an interview. They have so much going on, guys. If you don't know, they own the Tap Out brand, which they have before pre-workout and post-workout creams and pills and all sorts of other stuff, all FDA approved now. They no longer only have to sell in like Canada. Now they're actually going to be selling in the United States. So profit margins are huge. The upside potential is huge. They're going to be uplisting the OTCQB or even bigger after that. They're working with Rock Out Nation. They actually have an event coming up tomorrow on the 17th at Foxwoods. I might be going to check it out. It's a boxing event, which you can watch on, I believe, Fox Sports, I believe, where they work with Rock Nation Sports, which is Jay-Z's, Christopher Carter, Jay-Z. His sports agency, pretty much, Rock Nation Sport. They have a boxing agreement because Tap Out is really into the whole UFC, mixed martial arts, MMA, boxing platform. Where he works out with Tap Out very well. See, most of Access Farmers' users are people who actually fight in like boxing and MMA. So, now how does that tangle into WWE? WWE is going on to the whole exercise thing. They have a huge promotion coming out next year, exercising. And they're also integrating MMA with WWE. You know how TNA, if you don't follow TNA, they were pretty big. Spike dropped them. Spike Network, now they're on US, America United Cable or whatever. Nobody really has that. But anyway, where they picked up, they joined forces with, Telemore or whatever. It's another MMA brand that's not as big as UFC, but it's like the next one. It's like the littler company. So they work with them. So WWE is going to be working probably with the UFC, I believe. And they're going to integrate. That's how pretty much Access Pharma falls into this, the whole Tap Out brand. Where WWE is going to be supporting pretty much exercising and all this stuff. So it's not going to be a big thing. Vince McMahon doesn't touch anything that can turn to gold. Everybody said he was stupid for starting the WWE Network. Has over 1.5 million, and I mean million, users. Everybody talked about how the stock declined in price. It went down all the way to $9 a share in WWE. And he lost, on paper, he lost billions. Now he's back to being a billionaire, being at $13 a share. And nobody's saying a thing that he's a billionaire now. See, we're going to close this on pretty much the media. Get a text. What the hell? Hold on, guys. Perfect. That was my Pakistani web guy. He's doing some work today on the site. That's awesome. But anyway, I'm going to close the last 5 minutes. I'm going to go on a rant, so get ready for this. I'm going to check my Facebook thing real quick, though. There we go. The media loves to talk about people who lose money in the market. They do. Do they love to talk about how people make money in the market? No. If there's ever a big down day in the market, you could find them talking about it on your local news. Now, does your local news really cover the market? Like, very big. No. If the market had a huge day, say the Dow ran 350 points, say you have 400 points, say 600 points, would that make the nightly evening news? Lost 400, say 600 points, would that make the nightly news? Yes, because they love to instill fear. And it's fucking bullshit. The way it is now in America now, we don't commend, we don't appreciate, or give gratitude and satisfaction to people who busted their fucking ass to get to the way we are in life. We just do the liberal thing, and we bash them. We complain about it. We say, oh, you just, you scam somebody, you cheated, or whatever. You're the, oh my God, you're the, you have money. You're the devil. But all it actually is, we should be learning from those people. We should be, okay, what did that person do to get to where he is in life? Instead of just looking down at them because they have money. Okay, now let's talk about taxes. The middle class always complains about they pay the most in taxes. It's not true. The middle class pays shit in taxes compared to the other class that nobody talks about. You have your 1%ers, which is a small majority of the people in the world. And they pay, you might not think they do, but it's 90 seconds. I'm going to cut this short. But listen, guys, I'm going to get this in. They pay a little, but they don't pay as much as they should. But it doesn't matter. Who cares? They should be awarded. They have money. But there's the other one. There's the upper middle class, which is, they could consider those people rich, which they really, they kind of are, but they're not really not. And that's who pay the most in taxes. The top 30% of Americans. Oh, I should say Americans. I should say top 30% of the people who live in this country pay the most in taxes. Then you have your middle class. Then you got your lower middle class. Who get fucked. Those are people who complain. Those are people who complain, oh my God, I have to pay so much in taxes. Well, they're not paying shit compared to the top 30% who pay the most. Go on my Twitter. Look at my pics. There's a chart. I have a chart there. You wouldn't believe how much hatred I got from that chart from people. Which is true. It's facts. Facts don't lie. But again, the show's about to end. As always, let the training guides be with you. Hope you enjoyed the show. Went for a more educational route this time. Want to be professional. Want to get a message across. Hope you guys... 10 seconds left. Hope you guys have a good night. It feels like a Friday, but it's only a Thursday. I'll see you back here tomorrow. Peace.